Come, Holy Spirit, our hearts inspire. Enlighten us with your celestial fire. For if you are with us, then nothing else matters. If you're not with us, then nothing else matters. Be with us, I pray. Amen. Please be seated, as will I. This is vaguely familiar, yet a little bit still uncomfortable. For those of you who are visiting, I guess some explanation is in order. Some 7 weeks ago, after Carol decided she was well enough to come back to work, I took off. As the gospel reading that day said, the kingdom of heaven is the size of a mustard seed. And so the message I left with him was I was going to look for that mustard seed. And I said at the time that I would come back and let you know what my discernment was about and what my conclusions were, whether it was time for me to retire from active ministry or continue ministry. And so the discernment was an interesting odyssey. And if you've never taken a life inventory, I highly recommend it. It will scare the hell out of you, but it also can be very rewarding. So when I started this discernment process, what I realized was that I could not just discern my ministerial life. I had to do a whole life inventory and open up all the doors and look in the closet and see the skeletons. And so I tried to divide that process up into four aspects. First was my personal life. Who am I? And what am I doing? Am I doing any good? And what I discovered was I am blessed beyond measure and that I have a loving wife who supports me and is extremely interested in getting back in ministry in this church. Time constraints are an issue, but we're going to work through that. I looked at my professional life, and when I first decided to embark on this process, I was working as a hospice nurse, loving what I did, feeling I was making a difference in people's lives, but was surrounded by a toxic corporate culture. I had no idea how miserable I was. In May, that changed. I changed the company that I worked for with a different philosophy, a different way of viewing hospice care, and for now, all is well. Next, I looked at my ministerial life. What have I done? What might I have left to do? And while I divide these things up into sections, they all bleed over into each other. And one thing that I learned was my ministerial life does have significant impact on my personal life, in that since Bishop Gray had the audacity to put this collar around my neck, I have viewed this as a job, and I don't mean job in a pejorative way, but it is a profession to me. And so if the church doors are open on Sunday, I feel the need to be here. That means that we have gone on vacations where we come back on Saturday night and not stay through Sunday like everybody else does, because Dennis felt compelled to be at church. I have promised myself, promised my family, that if I continue in this ministry, that has to be relaxed a little bit. I felt like I am able to relate my vocation with my ministry and vice versa. I try to bring the presence of Christ to my patients as I treat them professionally. And I do that in several different ways, but I do believe that blending is there. The last thing I looked at was my spiritual life. This church has meant a great deal to me, to us, since the mid-1990s. And even when this church was going through really, really difficult times in I frankly abandoned it. I still could pop in here on an afternoon and stick my head in that door and feel something. That's significant. So what I did determine was I could have a spiritual life without a life in the ordained ministry. What would be sinful would be to try to have that ministerial life without a spiritual life. So after much thought and contemplation, I decided that I needed to look for that mustard seed a little bit harder. I will tell you, what I learned is that I'm probably as happy right now in life as I've ever been. This church is a huge part of that. Now, frankly, honestly, candidly, I struggle mightily with some of the issues going on in the Episcopal Church. I can look at the Methodist Church and say the same thing, the Lutheran Church, the Presbyterian Church. That is not a new problem. That is why we have most of the epistles that Paul wrote in the New Testament. It was the churches were screwing up, and Paul had to write and say, get your act together. That almost came out differently, but I'm glad it did. And really, when I got to thinking about it, I thought, there's probably not any organization that I could ever be a member of where I would agree 100% with what they're doing. I was worked at the House of the Twisted Sisters for 30 years. I was very dedicated to a nursing ministry at St. Dominic's, but I did not always agree with everything that went on there. So, I reflected back to the 1990s when the Episcopal Church was going through social turmoil with the ordination of Gene Robinson and that whole issue that tore us asunder. And I remember the verbiage back then that was used is the Episcopal Church is a big tent. Well, I'm a big personality, so I had to figure out whether or not that tent was big enough to hold my personality and everybody else and all their opinions as well. So what I've concluded is that I can remain a member of the Episcopal Church. I can remain within my orders and vows and serve this church and let the national church do what they will until it gets to the point where it becomes intolerable, which I hope never happens. And I can do all this still keeping my NRA membership, still being the voice of a lessening population in this church who believe, as I do, on the conservative line of thought. There were two people who are significantly affected by whatever decision I made. One of them was my spouse, Aunt Rebecca. The other, of course, was Carol. And I had conversations with both of them. Carol and I are different. We are. But I would like to think that Carol and I are an example of being able to survive in an organization where different people have different thoughts. And you come to the table with the overall mission of serving others, and the other stuff becomes minutiae in the background. So that is my decision. Now, I'm going to end this on a somewhat cheesy note. Oh, by the way, that mustard seed, it was never lost. It was never lost. But I had to step away from something very dear to me to realize that it was right in front of me all the time. I'm going to end this on a very cheesy note. One of the things that we learned in formation, I learned in nursing school, and oh God, did we do it at St. Dominic's, was writing of goals. And part of this process that I took on was to assess the goals that I had set in my life. And I was pleasantly surprised by some of what I had accomplished and not acknowledged. I saw some that I had not accomplished and am sorry for. And I found some that were no longer relevant. But I did not rewrite my goals for life. What I did was I adopted some. And if y'all will indulge me in 3 minutes of cheesiness, I'll share them with you now.